Alpha, you know what I need.
Teenagers with attitude.
That's correct, Alpha.
Teenagers with attitude.
What's up, bro?
Through your team. Teenagers with attitude, clad in tightly colored costumes, book and skull. I ship them to both legal dogs. How will that go?
Rangers, I'm cultural here and there. Listen to this awesome podcast right now. Alpha.
Welcome to Teenagers with Attitude, the show where a bunch of grown adults sit around and talk about teenagers in tightly colored clothing who fight monsters, and the blood pact that seals us into this podcast appears to be slipping because we are short-staffed this week and I'm dying slowly, but that's okay.
Zach has whatever Rita had in this episode, I think.
Yeah. I'm not quite sick enough to not want to talk about Power Rangers with my buddies. So, I'm Zach, and joining me this week, the intrepid few, we've got Joel.
Hey, everyone.
We have Mike.
Hey, how's it going?
And we have Simon.
Hello!
We don't have enough people to actually make a Power Rangers squad. Does that mean, can we still do this even? Like, we can't form a Megazord.
Were there later seasons with fewer Power Rangers?
There are some that start with three. I don't think there's ever been a four-man squad.
Doesn't RPM have four once?
Okay, hold on. Let me, for the listener, because this will be extremely entertaining, go into my mind palace and try to pull out the fucking seasons that start with three Rangers.
All right, if Zach falls asleep, just make a loud noise.
Okay, the first one what happens is Ninja Storm. They start with three. And then they end up with six, but they add two and then the sixth one. And then like Dino Thunder, Jungle Fury, there's actually a fair number where they start with three and it's always red, blue, yellow when they start with three.
Well, yeah, I mean, those are the primary colors.
Right. But they always get up
okay. Yes. Yes, they are.
They're the primary colors of pigment. We're not exactly talking about fucking magenta again with the, what was it? Like a fake color?
Yeah.
Yeah, it had its weird name. But anyway, so yeah, there are some seasons where there's only three to begin with, but usually they get the, like, at least a fourth or usually a fourth and fifth by like episode five. Like it always happens really fast to the point where I'm like, why did you bother? Like, what was the point of starting with this, like, tiny crew if you weren't going to explore that? But anyway, so...
Well, I mean, it's because the Sentai did it, so...
Yeah, that's
well,
true.
Well, you gotta capitalize in on that Sixth Ranger mania early.
God. I
kind of want a season where we start with one, and then he just gradually recruits people throughout the course of the season.
Well, we almost get that within Space, because it does start out with one, but he recruits the rest of them immediately.
There's also, oh god, Wild Force, where it doesn't start that way, but the Yellow Ranger, who's like the tough chick in that season, and I'm not like trying to be derogatory, that's her whole archetype, and they like talk about the fact that she was the first one and like found the rest of the Rangers and recruited them and stuff, but you don't really get to see it, which like, yeah, that sounds cool. Give me that. That would be interesting, but I don't know if they ever, I don't think they've done that yet. Maybe someday. I was going to say, cause you were talking about capitalize on Sixth Ranger mania, man, I'm still like so Dino Supercharge continues. It's still really fun. I recommend everybody check it out if you get the chance. But they have they have 8 Rangers now. And there are just episodes where, like, there's only 5 of them there for no reason. Like, not even the half reasons you get for Tommy, because there's just too fucking many.
So almost like a podcast that has 7 or 8, you know, regular contributors.
Yeah. So
there are 4 Ninja Turtles is my point here. So
that's that's true. All right. I guess I'm Leonardo. Fuck.
Yeah. I mean, you're kind of Leonardo by default.
Leonardo's cool. Whatever. I don't care.
Yeah.
But
I guess I'll be Raphael because I'm grouchy and I refuse to be Michelangelo.
Man, Michelangelo gets a bad rap. He was everybody's favorite when they were little kids.
Dude, we've been over this. My name is Mike.
I know,
I'm not going to be Michelangelo.
That passes. Just having that attitude makes you a ref.
Yeah,
I guess I'll be Donatello because Joel is the one who makes all the stupid puns.
Yes, that's true.
I suppose I've kind of earned the Michelangelo
role. Joel is definitely... How do you feel about pizza with weird toppings on it? Because that's all...
Well, that's kind of all of us, though. That's all the Turtles. But like Joel is a certified party dude though.
Yeah, he's got it framed. I've seen it. It just says from the College of I don't know, shenanigans.
You didn't have anywhere to go with that.
One certified party. Listen, I'm sick.
I majored in hijinks actually.
Okay, good.
It's in the same school, but they're very, very different.
Okay,
hijinks and shenanigans have a well known rivalry.
Yeah.
What is your opinion on japes?
Oh, man.
I mean, they're great if you're, you know, hanging out with your grandfather, but, you know,
I'm okay
there's
with
really
japes.
No place. There's really no place for japes in, like, modern society.
So japes are basically dad jokes, is what you're saying.
Well, they're a step removed from dad jokes, even.
I'm okay with japes as long as they happen in a jungle and I get to play Donkey Kong in that level. That's fine.
You're welcome to it because Diddy is the superior Kong in pretty much every instance.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, yes, he is. He's the best. Okay, how the fuck happen?
Hold on, before we actually get back on topic, does anyone like Kitty Kong?
No, anyone he's terrible.
No, he should have. No, he should have just been Donkey Kong.
Like, listen, yeah. I actually really like that game. Gets a bad rap. I think it's probably because Donkey Kong Country 2 is a classic.
Yeah.
And Donkey Kong Country 3, like, it's a good game.
It came out after the N64, though. That was the main thing about it.
Well, yeah, part of the team that developed the first 2 Donkey Kong countries weren't involved with it either, so it definitely feels different. You can tell.
Yeah, but I think people always blame it on Kitty, and, like, Kitty's lame, but he doesn't make the game suck. Anyway, I don't know how this happened. How did we get here?
You let your right down.
Okay, Zach, you're on a podcast about the Power Rangers. I know you're on Benadryl right now. Just keep focused.
Where am I? What's happening? Okay.
This is not my beautiful podcast. This is not my beautiful wife.
So this week, for our more finusnimal and, Luke's not here to make fun of the concept. So yeah, we got news. A couple little bits. The most exciting for me is that based on the sales of the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers number 0 comic and the pre-sales of number 1, which both have...
Yeah, so one's not even out yet.
No, but it has pre-sold 100,000 copies, which I had to ask a buddy of mine who's into comics, and he told me and linked me to some charts, and basically, like... Most event issues of Spider-Man and Justice League sell like 75,000 to 80,000. So, like, that's really good, especially for Boom, who usually don't do nearly those numbers. So they just said, fuck it, we're doing a spinoff. And they have announced, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Pink, which is a 6-issue miniseries. They'll be focusing on Kimberly Hart, which is pretty cool. That's kind of awesome that's the first one they went to.
Yeah, it's maybe not the first spinoff you'd think of. I mean, like, a Tommy series, like, kind of, like,
well,
writes
so
itself.
Well, so, I think they didn't do a Tommy one because that's kind of what the main comic is like,
yeah,
how
maybe.
Tommy
yeah.
integrates into the team. But it is cool that they went straight to Kimberly.
Yeah,
and
you'd think,
like,
if anything, they would have started with Jason.
Jason or Zach or so.
Well, also,
cool.
it does let them, like, kind of court women readers, which is good. But also... I think it kind of is true to the spirit of the original show, because something we're kind of learning going through this first season, with the exception of Tommy, like, Kimberly gets the most focus.
Yeah, it's true.
Oh man, what do you guys think the plot of this is going to be? I hope it's just like a slice of life thing where she's just trying to live her everyday life and keeps getting like attacked by Rita in increasingly petty ways.
It's just a PTSD
story.
Trying
to make dinner and just Rita comes and ruins it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh man, there's got to be a splash page where she's like, she's just on the bottom of the panel clutching her head, and on the top is like all these memories of shit Rita's destroyed. Like there's the float and there's the spinning wheel.
Man. Yeah, so the one of the cooler bits of news about this is it's being co-written by Brendan Fletcher, who wrote some really cool stuff for DC. He's written on Batgirl, Gotham Academy, which is if you haven't heard of Gotham Academy, it's kind of like a Sailor Moon type thing, except that they don't actually have superpowers, but a similar like girls doing superhero shit at a school and that stuff.
That nothing to do with Power Rangers.
No, it seems like a weird fit. And he also wrote on Black Canary. So that's really cool. And Kelly Thompson, who has done some writing on Captain Marvel, and I guess IDW put out a Jim and the Holograms comic that she wrote. So.
Yeah, that was, I have not read it, but it was very well received.
Okay, so that's
it was basically the opposite of the Jim and the Holograms movie that we got recently
in terms of
fans
that it was received at all, right?
Yeah.
Right, I think that movie set some records for like quickest way out of the theater.
Apparently it was really bad.
So, the artist is, I don't know anything about her, but Danielle DiNicuolo, I'm sorry.
I've definitely seen her name, but I'm not sure what in attached to specifically.
Yeah, the article I have from the LA Times doesn't have really any information about her. I think she's mostly new to comics, but, I made a horrible assumption based on his name being spelled Danielle with two L's. It's a guy. I'm sorry. I did a sexist thing.
At least it was, the inverse of how that usually happens.
Yeah. So, anyway, so that's really cool. I'm excited to read that. It's going to start in May. So a little bit of a lead up. They probably did not have this in the pipe until, it sold really well. So
they probably got as far to have the team together and have the preview images and then immediately announced it.
Yeah.
They're trying to strike while the irons are hot here.
I'll try to remember to put the cover up on the Twitter, but it's Kimberly jumping in the air and shooting her bow while like a ghost image of her Zord is behind her, and it looks pretty cool.
Yeah, I think there's an alternate cover that's like it's her posing. She's not wearing her helmet, but she's the rest of her uniform's there. She's firing an arrow toward the viewer, and like the other five Rangers are standing behind her.
Yeah,
it's pretty neat.
So that's cool. I'm excited for that. I didn't realize when I was talking about, issue zero that was coming out like several months before the series itself started. So that's why you haven't heard me talk about issue one yet, because it hasn't happened. But yeah, I'm excited for this stuff to get going and kind of, flesh out the stuff that we've been seeing a little bit more.
I'm kind of curious, since this is a comic based on an old property with like that's actually live action, I wonder, do they have to do any like legal thing or like give any kind of residual to the actors for using their likeness?
I don't know.
I would assume there has to be something about that, because I know with video games, like if you license based
likeness
on an
rights.
Live action, you have to
likeness
you have
rights
to
are
license
weird, especially
the voice.
Since like
yeah, I bet the Power Rangers producers like Saban or later Disney just made sure when they signed the actors to secure that in all the Power Rangers merchandising.
I bet they signed that shit away forever the first time they started their contract.
I mean, like they had action figures and video games and stuff before, and that was all based on their likeness, right? So
yeah, so that's a weird one. I don't know. Well, though, I bet a lot of the video games didn't have them helmetless or didn't bother to actually. Because these,
a lot of the video games featured them outside of their.
Really? Okay, I didn't know. But
the beat 'em ups all feature them. Like they all start out in street clothes, and then they morph halfway through the level.
I wonder if they actually use their like likenesses, though, because
they have close-up portraits when you on the like the character select screen. I can't remember if it's close to how they actually look or not.
Yeah, because the thing I'll say is, if you haven't seen any screens or any screen caps of the comic book, which is kind of a weird way to say it, if you haven't,
a lot of people read comics on a screen device now.
If you haven't seen that stuff, they're pretty close, except for Jason. I see that they were trying for it, but like they're pretty close to the actors' faces for the most part. So, anyway, so yeah, I don't know the answer to that, but I'm excited to see this stuff get started, and that should be cool. So I have one other bit of news, which is that the new Sentai has started. Hey, Mike, you want to pronounce that so that Jules, doesn't like come at me through Twitter and stab me to death? Cause apparently I did a bad job the last couple
times. I'm pretty
sure
it's Juoger.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it.
I could be saying it wrong, so she might end up stabbing me instead, but.
Good. You're my meat shield.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I think that's my role is basically backup host is to be a human shield.
Oh, so your Goldart is Axe Rita.
Yes.
Basically, yeah. I mean, hey, Zach, do you want me to just take over for the day since you're not feeling well?
Hey, at least I'm not Zordon, because that would make you Alpha 5 and you don't
want
that.
Oh, God. No, no. I'm pretty sure that's Luke, actually. Yeah. He's not here, so I can say things like that. Mm-hmm. But, fuck, what was I gonna say? Okay, so Juoger is really super fun, you guys.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
It's super goofy, and it's in a way that sometimes Japanese stuff still is, where, like, a lot of American things, even for kids, sometimes they feel, like, embarrassed about being really goofy. I don't know if anybody here, besides me watches a lot of things made explicitly for children, like I do, but, a lot of
cartoons. Not so much anymore.
Yeah, well.
Except Power Rangers.
You will again soon. Against
your
will.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. Maybe not so much American stuff, though, so that's gonna be a different experience.
That's true, but a lot of that stuff feels a little like ashamed to be just out and out fucking goofy. Juoger, oh God, I'm sorry.
Say it with Jew.
Jew.
O.
O.
Ger.
Ger. Juoger.
You said Jew again.
Juoger. Hmm.
Yes, I think it's
Juoger, actually. Sorry. Juoger.
So it's not Semitic Shrek? No? Okay, anyway, so.
But so the thing with it, and, I'm really holding back the urge to just gush about how much I love this. We're going to have to do a bonus episode.
Yeah, we're probably going to do a bonus episode. So
I will say, generally, like, this is actually kind of my first real exposure to, like, kids tokusatsu, basically. Like, we watched those two episodes of Garo.
Yeah, that's not the same thing.
No, it's not the same thing at all. It's way less restrained. And I will say, pretty much any time we watch Power Rangers, I talk about how, like, man, I wish they'd have leaned in to being really goofy. I wish there was more, like, Bulk and Skull shenanigans. Like, I wish they had kind of embraced, like, how fucking dumb this all
this
is.
This shit is a live-action cartoon, like,
Yeah, like, that was something I actually, when we did the Beetleborgs episode, I complimented Beetleborgs on that. They were just saying, fuck it, it's a cartoon, let's go. Juoger is everything I have been wishing Mighty Morphin Power Rangers was.
It's very fun so far.
My
favorite
nuts.
Like to tell you the tone, the fucking ending theme is just everyone does a choreographed dance.
And the lyrics are full of animal puns.
Nice.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's
so
like,
many puns.
We're gonna have a lot of elephant today.
Oh
yeah.
Boy, no, I
hate
it again now. Sorry.
So Joel, you should definitely watch the show.
Joel, you should
watch
it.
That's pretty weak.
In fairness, that was the subtitlers trying to translate animal puns.
Yeah, I'll give them a lot of credit from that. Puns are really, really hard to, like, cross language barriers.
Yeah.
I will say, one of my favorite things about it is that in order to establish how evil the villain is, there is a shot of a bunch of adorable rabbits running through a burning forest. Well, audio of people screaming in terror plays.
They dubbed screams, so it's like the bunnies are screaming while they're running away.
It's actually a lot less horrifying, though, than if they would have actually recorded rabbits in distress. Because have you heard a rabbit scream?
Yeah, that shit's
terrifying. Yeah, it's real bad. I had a rabbit chew through a wire of a radio that was running and electrocute herself.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
oh, no.
And when she came out from behind the counter where she was chewing the cord, like, that's how it happened. We didn't see her chewing, so we couldn't stop her. When she came out, it looked like a cartoon. Her, the fur on her face was black,
but,
and her whiskers had melted
but
off.
The bunny was okay, right?
Yeah, the bunny was okay. The, okay, her whiskers grew back eventually. She was fine. She lived for several years after that.
Good.
But like, yeah, yeah, it was scary. Like there was a spark, like the light, the rest of the lights in the room kind of flickered for a little bit. Like we heard the squeal and we're like, oh God, what happened? And like, and yeah, it was literally like a, it was like she was in a Looney Tune and a bomb went off when you saw her face.
When I was a little kid, I was this man. I get to do a tangent. I get to do a, like a for reals tangent. Cause
you
kind of
ruined it by calling attention.
Oh,
to it.
Fuck off. So when I was little, I was playing Star Fox 64 and I had
Star what?
I remember that game.
And I had without, like no guide or anything, I had stumbled onto like the secret path. And I was fighting the for real final boss Andross where like he turns into a brain and stuff. And, a lightning storm started and my parents were like, you should definitely turn the TV off. And Star Fox 64 didn't have saves, which like saying that now, a Nintendo 64 game that still didn't have a fucking save game in it is kind of crazy. But
even back then, like when I first found out that no, you can't, you turn the game off, like you have to start over. I thought it was nuts. Even in like 97.
Yeah. So, anyway, I was like, no, fuck that. Definitely not doing that. And we had at the time a electric fence for our dog. And lightning hit the ground outside and actually hit the electric dog fence.
I thought you were about to say the electric dog.
It didn't hit the dog.
What is that?
And
no, not with the
and
dog.
And your dog got superpowers.
No, and A, it killed my game, but B, it shot, like, soot and spark came out of essentially all of the fucking, outlets in the whole house. And I was sitting right next to one and that's the only time I've ever been electrocuted, and I was 10, so it was not super fun. So,
man, you should have
sure
played on a lot more
now.
Farms as a kid.
Yeah, I guess so.
You get used to like electric fence level shocks pretty quick.
Oh man. Anyway.
I'm hoping the end of the story is, and that's how I became the Flash.
No, sorry, no superpowers. The only real follow up to that is that I have never beaten Star Fox 64 because I just didn't want to at that point. Like, I didn't want to play that game anymore.
Well, apparently God didn't want you to either.
No. So, anyway.
But anyway, so yeah, Juojer is super fun. There's, like, we talked about how, like, there's the whole thing where, like, the villains, like, their whole modus operandi is that they are sort of a Running Man style game that travels from planet to planet. And the way they make the monster grow is after the Rangers like defeat him the first time and he's basically dead, like the main villain sends down one of the generals with a coin and says, give him a continue.
Yeah. They put,
there's a quarter in him. Coin slot on the shoulder of the monster that they put the coin in and it grows.
It's pretty fucking cool.
That's awesome.
So there's a lot of, there's some like video game sound effects and stuff in there. I think to match with the like cube motif of all the buildings and the Zords. The Zords are actually really fun in motion.
Yeah, that's the thing.
So the cubes
same,
are
same thing with
like
the
pixels. That's the theme.
Yeah, yeah.
Or it's
the, like
voxels,
even when when the Megazord destroys the monster, when he explodes into debris, the debris is cubes.
Yeah, and
like,
and also
and everything about it, like not just the Zords, but also like the suits, which I think a lot of us said looked really dumb at first. All looks better in motion.
They look better in motion. So I don't want to talk about it too much because we are going to do an episode about it. The only thing I really absolutely must mention, to give you an idea of like how this show works is, so we talked about it before, but he goes to basically animal land where everyone is anthropomorphic animals. And, the morphers are supposed to only respond to, what do they call them? Zhoumen? Like Zhoumen.
It's Zhoumen. It's just, it's the ZYU, just like the name of the show, and also Jew Ranger.
And also human.
But just in place
kind
of human,
sounds like human. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're only supposed to respond to basically animal people. But he is yelling at this cube, the main character, Yamato, is yelling at this cube to give him power so he can help fight the bad guys.
And he yells, humans are animals too!
And then the cube goes,
logics his way into being able to use the
literally
superpower.
The cube goes, oh, you're actually right, okay.
Yeah, the cube is like, oh shit, awesome. good point, okay, here you go.
Fucking rumbled, let's go.
So,
I hope the Power Rangers, based on this, follows that stuff.
I really hope they have that conceit, but they'll have to reshoot everything, because all the footage of, we talked about before, but all the footage of these animal costumes is going to have one Japanese dude in it. So,
there were a lot of other surprises, like when we saw that the lion guy had these ridiculous fake dreadlocks, we assumed he was going to be the joke character. No, he's very serious.
Yeah, he's very
he's
serious.
He's a very serious person.
Yeah. it's very fun. If you have any interest in Sentai, you should go find that stuff and, it's enjoyable, and I'm excited to see what comes next, and I'm excited to see what they do with that thing, when it comes over, but it'll be a while. They've still got Ninja Steel to do next, so,
And with their, like, two seasons to a season thing they've been doing, like, there's no guarantee we'll even get this.
Yeah, they could skip it, but
I hope we do, but it's so fun, especially, the mooks. Like, kind of the putty equivalent.
Yeah, they look weird. I like
them.
They look weird, but
they're so fun.
Yeah.
And they have jetpacks.
Yeah, they do all have jetpacks. Oh, and also they have, never mind. I'll save that stuff. The only other thing I'll mention, real quick in this news segment is, Ninninger, which is the next, which was the last Sentai in Japan and is what they're going to do next for Ninja Steel Power Rangers here. Their toy sales were like the lowest of the last 20 years for those stuff over there, because apparently Ninninger was very bad. People have been telling me. So it is possible.
Like, it was the first time, like, I've heard Jules, like, former guest Jules and resident tokusatsu expert.
Yeah.
That's the first time I've heard them describe a tokusatsu as garbage.
Yeah. So it's possible with how good
Jules loves everything tokusatsu.
Yeah.
So it's possible with how good Dino Charge has been that we could have a Power Rangers season that even all the tokusatsu people are like, nope, that's better. which has not happened in quite some time. So so that's just a little neat, interesting thing. So anyway, I guess that's it for news. I thought that would be quicker than it went, so we'll take a quick break and...
You always think that.
Yeah. Teenagers with Attitude. I thought that would be quicker than it went.
Yeah, Teenagers with Attitude. Why are people listening to this? What is happening? Thank you, though.
How many slogans do we have at this point?
Teenagers with Attitude. Like, shut up, Mike.
I mean, this is stupid white assholes.
No, that's not the slogan. Shut up, Luke is the slogan.
Alright, so we'll be right back.
I think we've each got shut up blank at some point.
Yeah, definitely. We'll be right back. So this is episode 32 of the first season, A Star is Born, and it's an episode. it opens with...
is it?
Yeah, it is, but I mean...
It's kind of two episodes, in my opinion, but...
Well,
it's two episodes and half an episode, somehow in the same
It's really all the fuck over the place. It's
I love how this podcast has caused us to question basic concepts like episode, TV show, story,
plot, setting. This truth that there are 60 episodes in the first season of Power Rangers, and we're starting to doubt that.
This episode opens with Zach, Kimberly, and Tommy hanging out, and one thing I've noticed, because this happens in The Green Candle, which is in two episodes, which also opens with Zach and Tommy hanging out. I think Tommy stole Zach from Jason. I think he friendship stole him, because they used to hang out all the time. Not so much as anymore.
I don't know.
I mean, you can have more than one friend.
No, you can only have one best friend. That's why it's called that.
Also, Jason and Tommy hang out together, like, in scenes where before it would be Jason and Zach. Or at least this is going to start at some point.
That's true.
Because I do remember that from later in the show, but yeah.
Well, that's the problem with introducing Tommy, isn't it? Because, I mean, before they had the established social hierarchy, and now you've got two alphas in the same, like, unit.
No, Alpha lives in the command center. How's it feel? How's it feel, Joel?
Mostly I feel like I should have caught that.
Okay, so anyway, he's talking about to them about...
Well, they invite him to a beach trip, they're going to the beach two episodes in a row.
I was thinking about that. I wonder...
Well, there's nowhere else, like... You get sick of the park, where else are you going to go on Angel Grove?
Like, there is an upswing. We actually see them inviting Tommy along this time.
Yeah, it was two episodes ago. They went to the beach
and Tommy
wasn't anywhere. Oh fuck, we forgot Tommy. We'd better invite him.
I almost wonder if they only got, like, one shooting day at the beach, and so they...
Well, I mean, the beach shows up in a bunch of episodes, but yeah.
This beach does look identical, like it's still overcast.
I wonder if they literally had like one day and they were like, okay, we're going to have two beach episodes, and then just somehow it ended up that they were near each other.
When they got there, it was dark and cloudy, and they were just like, oh, fuck, we can't schedule another day. Let's just go.
Yeah. So Tommy is, he says like, man, I can't go. And I was like, because you have to walk a dog, because you have to wash your hair, because
you have to practice with a sword.
Well, for Tommy, that might actually be an excuse.
But no, it's because, he is trying out for a karate commercial, which actually figures into the plot and is not just a thing he is saying.
Yep. Surprisingly.
Does it figure into the plot? Does it though?
Into the B plot. Like, more than it normally does. Usually it's literally just a cutaway of him doing the thing, and then they cut back. Like,
yeah. Although, I will admit, when I read the Netflix description for this episode, what I thought the plot was going to be, because I still tend to expect too much from this show, is I thought that he was going to audition for a karate commercial, get the role, and then have to choose between... like, helping the team or making it to, like, the shoot.
Because, to be fair, that happens in a whole lot of episodes. Like, the Rangers have to choose between a commitment and being a Power Ranger.
Yeah, that becomes, especially later when they get a little bit better at, like, plotting stuff, that is a big... I have been watching more of iZombie, and the main character on that show played the Yellow Ranger in RPM, and that was her thing constantly, because she was like the daughter of a rich family, and they were always like, you have to go, you know, to this like gala or whatever, and yeah, so they definitely start doing that stuff more, where it's like, you have to choose, but nope, not in this one. He doesn't even think about it, like, it's not a concern.
No, he, like, he puts his morph... Well, he always keeps his communicator in the bag anyway, but, like, he just leaves his communicator behind.
It's a karate commercial. It's like... He's gonna spend one day shooting him doing sick karate moves and maybe talking to the camera. Go, come to whatever's dojo to practice your karate moves. Maybe you'll learn to, like, kill some wood like this. Oh, yeah! And then, like...
Well, the way
I'm
they
sorry,
actually...
I mean,
well,
Sakura!
The best thing is...
yeah.
Well, the best thing is, it's not even
He
doesn't even have to go shoot anything. We'll get to it.
I was gonna, since you brought it up already, and I was gonna talk about it when we get there, but is he, like, allergic to shit on his wrists? Like, can Tommy just not wear fucking watches? What?
Tommy is allergic to having a chain around his neck, man. You can't control him.
He's scared of commitment, so he won't wear his communicator?
He puts himself off the grid.
I do know of some people who, like, really, really hate to the point of, like, an aversion.
Well, I know that some people have, like, it hurts their wrists if they've got real bony arms or whatever, but, like, dude, you're a superhero. Like, put it on your belt then if you can't fucking deal with it. Or, I don't know,
To be fair, in the 90s, no one has thought of the, like, outrageous idea of carrying your communication device in your pocket.
Well, in fairness, at least in this instance, like, he's doing a karate audition. It'd probably be weird if he has a big old watch on.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Do have him find so many excuses to just not have it on as the plot demands.
Yeah.
But so, to be fair, like, as that as has happened over and over again, when they do have their watches on, it always ends up ringing when Ernie or Balkan Skull are in earshot and they have to hide it. So what's even the point?
Yeah.
They put that stuff on vibrate or something.
That's true. So, yeah.
Oh, man, can you put your watch on vibrate?
I don't think it has. They should. They never do, but yeah.
I mean, that'd be really weird, though.
I mean, that's basically pager technology.
They used to put it on vibrate, but they stopped when Tommy couldn't fucking find it.
But like that would be even weird, though, because we're dealing with like the 90s. Like, you know, we'll see what cell phones looked like back then in a moment.
Oh yeah.
But like the vibrator thing was not a thing. So having your watch just suddenly go.
Well, no, it would be a pager. Yeah. The communicator buzz and looks, 113. Oh, Zordon needs us.
So, okay. So Zach says, oh man.
Wait, hold on. What would Zordon's code actually be? Can you spell Zordon in numbers upside down? Does that work? Or something similar?
2012. God, I don't know what you do for a D.
He would just send 42911.
Just a zero.
So Zach is excited about the idea of Tommy maybe being on TV. Which is funny because they've all been on TV just with masks on. Actually, now that I say that.
Well, yeah, it wasn't it. Tommy hasn't been on TV. The Green
Ranger.
Actually,
now that I say
TV.
That,
yeah.
Have we ever seen news footage of the Rangers?
I don't think so. This actually, like, they make a public appearance in, like, a handful of episodes. So that becomes, like, their big, I guess, public coming out, but.
Don't they go on a late night talk show at some
eventually,
point?
Yeah,
since season two, I think. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. That's fucking weird.
We see the same newscaster occasionally, like, reporting about the Power Rangers doing stuff with no visuals.
Yeah.
Just the guy's face.
Well, just
and we'll see
like,
him again
no
today.
No one has yet been able to capture footage of the giant robots fighting in the middle
which
of the
which is weird, that you'd think that would be easy. Though I guess camcorders at that point were not super easy to...
It's like Cloverfield, man. It's super hard to get, like, good footage. You just see, like, the buildings fall to pieces and shit.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, you see, Tommy would have gotten a camera and, like, taken video footage to sell to the news.
So he's Spider-Man, is what
you're
saying.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right, but he couldn't afford the camcorder.
Okay, so
he always keeps carrying it in his bag, and he has it stolen or broken. Yeah.
When you guys started talking about, like, man, it's weird that they can't get footage of the giant monsters. Man. I almost like reflexively flinched because I felt a morphing grid explanation coming.
If you say it, it becomes real.
No,
we were
safe from the morphing grid today, and you
this
had to bring it up
space.
Anyway.
Luke can't reach you.
I can't do it, man.
He's just gonna find his way into the skull any second now, I bet.
I actually recant that because I remembered that everyone didn't have a phone or a camera in their pocket in this universe because cell phones aren't a thing yet.
Someone in that fucking city had a camcorder or like was a TV crew or something.
Yeah.
I like how you described 1993 as a different universe.
Yeah, totally. So.
Well, it is. It's like Marvel 92. It's like just a separate thing where it's just perennially the
so
early 90s.
So they, basically Zach is like, okay, this is awesome. He high fives Tommy. And then around the corner comes Skull wearing a blue, man, I'm not a material expert, but it's like shiny blue silk suit. Or suit jacket, and he's got a cell phone, which again, early 90s, they look hilarious.
It's a brick. Yep.
For anyone who has not seen an early 90s cell phone, it's basically a beige brick.
Yeah.
Yep.
With a tiny little, a big ass antenna coming out the top of it.
And speaking of pager, he has one pinned to his jacket too, so.
Yeah. What's in his other hand? I can't tell.
I'm looking at that scene right now, which is why
I think
it's
just a notebook, like a moleskin.
No, that looks like a pager.
Anyway. No, in his hand. He's got a pager
on his
jacket.
Little black book or something.
It looks like an old PDA.
It might
actually
be a really early PDA. It's possible.
Yeah.
So.
Also under his suit jacket, he's still wearing the question mark beret. He's still wearing his usual sunglasses.
Oh yeah, of course.
And his, camouflage gray pants. Mm-hmm. Cause.
So I know we find out about their families eventually, but is either Bulk or Skull's family rich? Because that's a lot of really expensive stuff for them to just have.
Yeah, I mean, one of them, I guess we still don't know whose room that was.
We don't know that these aren't just props that they stole from the theater department.
Yes, that's true. but one of them has a bunch of crazy costumes and shit. I don't know.
Yep.
Like, yeah.
I have to assume they're well off because they keep losing so much money.
So,
like, but also Bulk comes in behind Skull and he's wearing a fancy purple scarf that's kind of, it's like he's not wearing his purple tie-dye shirt, so it's like he turned it into a scarf because it's a purple tie-dye scarf. And also he's wearing a black beret.
Oh god, it's the same pattern. You're
and
right.
Also he's wearing a beret.
And they're both wearing sunglasses.
Yeah, and Skull is demanding a limo for Bulk's audition.
Yep.
At which point,
speaking of spending money,
which we'll see in a moment, is happening in the school, like right behind where they are right now.
At which point, Bulk walks up and says, "Like, better not get too used to the idea, because I'm gonna win that part or something."
I do want to talk about, like, I love the way Skull demands the limo. He's like, "Did I stutter? It's an audition, isn't it?" And then he just screams into the phone, "Of course I want a limo."
Yeah. I like to think he called the cab company and said, "I want a limo."
Well, I'm actually really clinging to the idea now that this is a prop phone.
Well, then he goes, "Hello," like whoever's on the other end hung up on it.
Yeah. Yep.
So I don't think he would fake that.
Actually,
sir, this is a pizza delivery place, so we don't have limos here. Goodbye.
Sir, we sell pizzas?
Yeah.
I don't know what you want from us.
So Bulk actually says, "I've got this in a bag," at which point Skull gives one of my favorite faces where he just does like a big cheesy grin while giving a thumbs up while holding the cell phone to his head with his shoulder.
Like you say, yeah, the deal is in the bag.
Yeah. And Tommy goes, "Oh, really? So you're going to do something like this?" And takes his scarf and then uses it to do a bunch of, like, kata stuff. And
just waves it around while he does, like, standing roundhouse kicks and backflips.
And then does a backflip.
Yeah, we only get to see about half of it. The other half is spent watching Bulk and Skull's, like, faces move as they try to follow the action.
And then we get a little bit of a humbled Bulk, and he says, "Better do a little practice first." And I know we've talked about how much self-confidence Bulk has, but he is bordering on self-delusion at this point. Like, dude, you know you can't really do karate, right? Like, you have to know that.
Yeah. Full delusion from square one.
Bulk is much like a large dog in which he seems to have no conception of his, like, the physical space he occupies or his physical capabilities.
Yeah.
Also, again, like, this show doesn't, it's weird because it's a TV show. It doesn't seem to understand how, like, the casting process works, because, like, we've seen it this both described as an audition and a screen test.
Right.
And then, again, we're going to get to what it actually is later on. It's so fucking weird.
So,
so we cut to the moon!
Yeah, we cut to the moon, and something weird happens, which is Rhea is complaining and says she's tired and wants a day off.
She says she's pooped, which I never expected to hear Rita Repulsa say the word poop, and here we are.
It's, come on, she's just
tired. It's still weird, though. I'm sorry.
It's an expression, man.
No, I know that it's an expression. It's still hearing Rita Repulsa say
that. Man, I could just have some fucking sleep right now. Shit, still, goddamn.
Like, we were talking about before about how this show is so chaste that it would be weird to see, like, even, like, a gag where, like, Bulk steps in some dog do, you know? Mm-hmm. And then just, like, it still caught me off guard because, like, the show's in this weird, like, zone where, like, yes, in this universe, poop is a swear. And then it just happens. And it's just like,
super
what?
Super wholesome. Yeah. So, at this point, one of my favorite interactions ever in the show happens.
Yes.
The best, like, two lines of the show, which is, Goldar says, "But you must lead us to victory." And Rita says, "I don't wanna, you do it."
And Goldar just immediately says, "Yes, okay."
That's his chance to prove himself.
I love how fucking, like, no. Nuh-uh, I don't wanna.
Not today, I'm sick of it. Last time, no, that wasn't last time, that there was a mirror and, like, that fucked up, and no.
Which also, like, they don't have a deadline.
You could just not attack the Rangers today.
Well, they don't know that, though. Like,
well, I mean, presumably they know that Zed is watching them, like, waiting for them to have some results, and he's going to show up and be pissed if they don't.
I guess that's true.
The show doesn't plan that far ahead, though.
No, it's true.
Like, they could just not attack the Rangers today. Like, that's an option. Like, you can just take a day off.
You could. But no, instead, Goldar is going to lead them today. He is, substitute Rita-ing.
Yep.
We cut down to the beach. Everybody's having a nice time.
Goldar Sita?
I don't understand that reference.
You know, like Goldar has Holdar to fill in for him.
Oh, god damn it. Yeah, totally. Okay, fine. So Billy appears to have a tiny portable computer, I think, or maybe a radio.
It looks like an alarm clock, but I don't know.
I think that's a mini TV.
Oh my god. Fucking nerd.
Like you could get very, very tiny black and white televisions.
Yeah, with like
Yeah, and I wanted one so bad.
Yeah,
that would run like 15 minutes on battery on the beach, yeah.
So Bulk and Skull show up to ruin everyone's nice time. They kick some sand on some extra spaces. And they're walking towards
kicking some sand on someone like a 50s beach bully. That's amazing.
Well, it's by accident because Bulk is making Skull carry so much fucking equipment he can't see where he's going.
Right, and also Bulk is just wearing the same thing he was before, except he it has his jacket open and we get to see his... Man. Yeah.
Hair.
He's clearly not an 18-year-old.
I've known hairy teenagers.
Yeah,
I knew a guy who was like of Russian origins. That guy was hairy as hell.
So anyway, they
but like let's just take a moment to describe what Skull is carrying.
Okay, sure. Yeah,
he's got an inflatable raft, the biggest cooler I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's like umbrella straight up like a family cooler for like we're taking this for our entire camping trip. Like
Yeah.
And it's like, clearly empty like, the way he's carrying it.
Well, sure, yeah.
Yeah, like this is a cooler for like a family of 12. he's carrying an umbrella. The umbrella's open, by the way.
Yeah, of course.
He's carrying a surfboard. Mm-hmm. And what seems to be a bunch of towels that he's just dragging along and not rolled up or anything.
Yeah, you know.
And he has water wings on his arms and like one of those animal life preservers.
Inner tube,
yeah.
Bulk is also carrying something.
A bottle of sunscreen.
Yep. Yes, he's really exerting himself.
Yes. So at this point, Zach and Kimberly are playing volleyball with
the tiniest, lightest looking
inflatable beach ball. And Kimberly or Zach? One of them hits it at Bulk by accident.
It kind of just hits him in the chest, but he acts like it hit him in the head and
him,
he falls
it
down.
It hits him briefly in the chest, and he like looks dazed and falls over. Again, this is a fucking beach ball. Like, not a medicine ball, not a volleyball. It's just a beach ball.
Well, it's not just that he falls over. It's that he falls over and hit Skull and they drop all their stuff. Yeah.
This beach ball
and he
wouldn't
goes
have knocked
like, this
over
is
a
good
a
spot.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
So at that point, Bulk comes up to Jason and taunts him, which, like, you just got humiliated.
Why would you?
Like, I don't understand.
Yeah. Also, I just realized, even though Bulk and Skull are both wearing, like, swim trunks now, they're both still wearing their combat boots on the beach.
I don't think what Bulk is wearing could be called a swimsuit.
Bulk
yeah, it looks like long underwear and, like, ripped jean shorts on top of them.
Bulk is wearing jean shorts over his swimsuit.
Yep.
Yeah. So he comes up to Jason and is like, your friend's history, hi-ya! Like, makes a bunch of karate noises. Jason doesn't, like, barely reacts. He's just like, okay, whatever. Kimberly comes over.
What does Skull have around his waist? I just realized.
That's
some kind of belt, yeah. What I'm wondering
it
is
looks like,
what's
it looks like the
socks?
Like medallion. It looks like the medallion part of the like a wrestling championship belt. Only it's a chain link of a bunch of them.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. That is weird. I don't know. He's always got weird belts. Mm-hmm. So Bulk then walks back over to Skull.
Yep. yeah, there we go.
So he tells Skull that he needs a tan before the audition.
Here it's super overcast. It looks like a storm is about to break out.
So he tells
now, to be fair, it doesn't matter how cloudy it is, you can still get a sunburn. There's still enough power from the sun on a cloudy day to burn you.
So he tells
but also, as we'll see, like, he's trying to get a full tan for the audition. When we see the audition, everyone is fully clothed. Full karate gi, everything.
Yep.
There's no reason for him to be doing this.
So he asks Skull to put his the suntan lotion on, and Skull takes it. He pulls off the top, and he goes to squirt him with it, and like a fucking fire hose of white, creamy, gooey stuff goes onto Bulk's face and
suntan lotion
and in Bulk's mouth, and it's
right.
How did this happen? How did this get on TV? I don't know.
Someone in there had to know what this looked like.
Like
at least Bulk, like the actors Jason Harvey and Paul Schreier, at least one of those two had to know.
Yeah, like what listener, this looked like. I will put this up on Twitter. It'll be the picture I put with the episode I upload. Look at this and tell me, even 10 years ago, that you would have not gone like, maybe we shouldn't put fat guy Bukkake in our children's show.
Whoa. Bulkkake.
Oh, God.
There we go. See, only four of us, but we still, just as snappy as ever.
Still got it. Yep. It's just, like,
I like to imagine that whoever's running the show is just the nicest, most, like, clean-cut old dude ever.
At some point, some assistant has to lean over and just whisper in his ear what this looks like.
Well, exactly.
Oh, nonsense! It's just a clean, wholesome
Nobody had the heart to tell him.
If we didn't explicitly know that a lot of the producers on this show were like, we're homophobic, like, we absolutely know that. If we didn't, I would be like, they're just trying to fucking, they're like, this is, it's the gayest thing I've ever seen.
Maybe homophobia just comes with a really weird blind spot. It's just, you don't even realize that something could be.
And that's not derogatory, it's just super gay. Like, that's just what it is. And
we're not reading subtext here. No. Like, this is text.
Yeah, this is just text at this point. So.
And it gets worse!
Yeah,
just
it actually does get a lot worse, because, what happens is, he basically...
Bulk actually says, I wanted a tan and not a bath.
Yeah. And then Bulk says, well, you didn't do it right, so you still gotta put it on me. And at which point...
ignoring the fact that it's all already on him.
Yeah, like, at which point, Skull goes into the cooler, which I will, point out is filled with Twinkies, like, already made hot dogs, like, in bun.
Bananas. And a big jar of what brand of mayonnaise?
Timmy P's real brand mayonnaise, which they then play the jingle of.
Yeah, Zach, please, when you're editing play the jingle.
Oh, man. Timmy P's.
Oh, man.
There's no fucking way I don't do that. Yeah, absolutely.
Timmy P's real brand mayonnaise.
He tastes it first. And then gives Bulk like the tanning screen so he can't see what he's doing. And then fucking Skull smears mayonnaise onto a naked man's stomach on a children's television show.
So here's the thing. Mayonnaise has a very distinctive smell and texture to
it.
And of all people in Angel Grove, Bulk must be intimately familiar with that. How does he not notice this?
And Bulk is literally going like, oh yeah. And I'm just like, come on.
Can I tell a little story about when I was first watching this episode?
Okay.
So I work nights, and as I'm coming home from work in the morning, I don't have a whole lot of options for places to get dinner food at 7 a.m.
Okay, sure.
One of the few options I have is Burger King. I went to get some Burger King on the way home this morning. I got that chicken sandwich that they have that is absolutely covered in mayonnaise. I was halfway through that sandwich when the scene happened.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Did it ruin your sandwich?
No, I finished it because I love mayonnaise that much.
Oh, it's really good.
But it still made me kind of uncomfortable for a moment.
Oh, man. So, anyway, Bulk's like, I'm going to look fresh for that audition. And then he makes this just super excited face, and I'm like, you're an idiot.
All that mayonnaise baking in the hot sun is going to be anything but fresh.
Yeah, like, I will say, I like mayonnaise, but I've left a sandwich with mayonnaise in my car for 30 minutes by accident once. That's too long.
Yeah.
So.
On a hot day, he's tanning, even though it's super overcast.
So this is going to be super gross.
And plus, if it actually was as hot and sunny as the show wants us to believe this beach
which
is.
Which it clearly isn't, again.
It clearly isn't, but if it was, that mayonnaise would sizzle.
Oh, God. So gross. So we cut up to the moon, and Reed is taking a nice nap, which is adorable, actually.
I think this is
the same footage as when, like, Squat and Babu were making their monster time. But this time, it's Goldar's turn, so there we go.
So Goldar says, the Rangers have let their guard down, I'll take them by surprise.
So how many times do they use this exact same talking head shot of Goldar in this episode alone?
A bunch. There's probably not a lot of footage of him by himself in the castle.
Well, you said he didn't really actually talk much.
I mean, mostly like growls.
Yeah. We do get some full body shots of him on the balcony, kind of bouncing up and down excitedly, which is nice.
So we cut down to the school where apparently the audition is happening at the school, which I know that does happen sometimes for casting calls for teenagers and stuff like that. But
yeah, I'm sure it's a lot easier, especially when I don't have a driver's license.
Yeah. So Bulk is super sunburned. Which we see, they don't call attention to it yet, but I'm not sure how you do that effect, but yeah, he's super sunburned.
It's just makeup. They just kind of paint him red.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he says, I've got this. You might as well go home now, Tommy. Bah, ha, 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 ha. And, I feel for Skull here because he comes up and claps him.
Have we mentioned how Bulk is dressed right now?
Oh, he's got
wearing
a
white karate gi, but he has his, like, he has a
denim
jean
jacket,
sleeveless jean vest.
Yes, his denim vest.
Scarf.
He's still wearing the scarf,
yep.
The sunglasses, and the beret.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's incredible.
And Skull walks up behind him and claps him on the back reassuringly, to which Bulk goes, oh God, don't touch my sunburn, you idiot.
He's a lot angrier than that.
And I feel bad because somehow, like, I'm not the guy who, like, slaps people in the back, but every fucking time I do it, it seems like, oh, surprise, they just had a tattoo or a sunburn or something of that nature. And
so your version of Bulk's superpower is when you slap somebody on the back, it causes
do you think maybe like your latent mutant ability is that like you just cause skin irritation?
backwards in time, I caused them to have decided earlier to go get a tattoo on their back. Yeah, totally.
Call Professor X, dude. You might have something.
So, the lady calls in the next person. Bulk goes first. And,
Skull tries to go in with him, and the lady's just like, nope, not with him. Mm-hmm. And you can't wear the sunglasses. So we see Bulk take off his sunglasses. He's got the pale, like, tan lines on his face, which is hilarious. They do a little move that I actually kind of like. Bulk throws the sunglasses, Skull catches him without really looking at him, and then puts him in his pocket.
Yeah, because Skull is, I assume, so used to being Bulk's manservant, basically. Like, because he's always holding stuff for him and everything.
It's similar to that scene in the original, I think it was the original 1989 Batman, where Alfred's just running behind Bruce as he's going through the party and, like, cleaning up all the stuff Bruce is behind.
Totally.
Like, he throws a bottle and he catches it.
So Bulk does his thing, which if you've seen any episodes of the show now, you know what happens when Bulk dances or does karate. My favorite part that he does in this, there's two really good parts. One, he chops the judge table, like he's gonna break it and nothing happens, and then he does it again, which is pretty great.
He does it like three times. He grabs a bunch of like stray loose papers, which the judges were probably using, and then throws them around. And as they're flooding around the room, he acts like he's trying to like chop them out of the air.
And of course, nothing happens. And Then
he does a flying kick at a chair in the corner of the room and breaks the chair and presumably his foot.
Yeah, he goes, it's in the same cadence as his karate yells, but it's clearly a yell of pain.
Well, he does that thing where, like, mid-scream, he tries to save face. He's like, ah!
Yeah, it's pretty great. So the lady says, well, I think we've got our man, and he walks out and says, kiss Hollywood goodbye, Tommy. I'm their man. And Tommy just kind of glares at him.
I'm pretty sure that foot's broken because he's limping out of there.
Yeah, totally. So at this point, we cut back to the beach.
You know, with this show and the way it treats Bulk, I'm honestly surprised when he comes up later in the episode, he's not in a ridiculous cast.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm honestly shocked.
Yeah, that would have been an easy joke to make. So we cut to the beach. Everybody's playing volleyball. Scorpina shows up with some putties. And we get a morphin' time.
I want to point something out.
Before we go to the beach, though, I don't want to miss this. As Bulk is bragging at Tommy, Skull almost slaps Bulk on the back and then like he catches himself. We actually get like a car braking sound effect.
I totally missed that.
And like he's like, whoops, nope, never
That's
mind.
That's pretty
never
good.
Mind.
So go ahead, Joel.
So the Rangers are playing, just hitting the ball around or whatever, and we clearly see a whole bunch of extras literally just behind them. A whole bunch of other people on this beach.
Yeah.
And then they look over, Scorpina's just standing there, and then they morph in front of everyone.
And totally. They it's one of those things where like they'll still talk about like we need to go over here to do our communicator or whatever, but essentially when their script doesn't feel like bothering, it just doesn't.
They make sure to get all the extras out of the shot when they actually cut to them morphing.
It's like nobody in Angel Grove has any object permanence. Like the second they can't see them, it's fine.
Well, talk about that.
You could choose to interpret this as the extras were actually the putties in disguise.
Okay, sure.
Well, also, when Scorpina shows up, Trini's the one who first sees her, and she backs up a young. It's Scorpina, and like everyone kind of backs up a little bit. But Trini, like, grabs Billy's arm and pulls him back, so.
Gotta protect my man.
Yep.
So, here's where the episode starts to become two episodes.
Yep.
Scorpina attacks, and she says, like, fear my pet worm or something? I don't remember exactly.
She's got like a silkworm in her hand.
Yeah, it's a tiny little thing that shoots out webbing, basically. And we've totally skipped the putty fight, but don't worry about
it. Yep. Yeah, there's all some you really cool need stuff,
to,
but it's not
all
really
you really
worth,
need to know like, is it's Sentai footage. So not only is the like lighting and camera quality different, but like it's clearly way more sunny out in Japan when this was originally
filmed. The beach
filmed.
Is a lot more rocks than sand now. The Black Ranger does kind of some cool stuff with like he swings around on a bar a little bit, but yeah, nothing really funny to talk
Simon,
about.
Hey Simon, when does Scorpina disappear? Cause she just...
I think she appears once in season 2 and like doesn't even talk in that episode and then just vanishes after that or something like that.
Cause they couldn't, I believe they could not get the Asian actress back.
Yeah.
Zed fired her. She was one of the first lost in the new management.
Yep.
Yeah, and they didn't...
Zed was like, nope, not you.
I mean, conceivably, they could just do what they did with Rita and just get a new actress, but they didn't...
Well, yeah, but it took half a season for them to find a justification to have Rita back on the show, and it was kind of ridiculous until
they could also just not justify it, because, I mean, whatever, fuck it.
Yeah.
But they took great pains to justify
That's the problem, because they do. She goes through this ritual to rejuvenate herself.
First of all, in season 2, Rita is always shown from the back groveling to Lord Zed. Then she's made tiny, so she's really hard to see, and put in a jar and, like, drop kicked into space, and then at some point like 20 episodes later she comes back and then she gets plastic surgery to make herself look younger, and that's when she's played by a new actress.
I'm just saying, like, Scorpina is barely in this show, so if they just had a new actress,
I think the problem is that because they justified Rita's, then it would be weird to not justify hers. Probably not, like, they probably still could have done it, but it would have either been better to either justify both or neither. And unfortunately, she just vanishes at some point. So I was just trying to figure out when that happens. So she is here off and on the rest of this season, at least. I was wondering if she was coming up on being gone pretty soon here.
Yeah.
So,
but anyway, so Scorpina says, "Meet my worm," or whatever.
Yeah.
And like
she holds out her hand, like she's holding it in her hand, and like the editing makes it really confusing what's going on.
Yeah. Well, the footage we get of the worm shooting out like the webbing or whatever it is, mm-hmm. it's footage from when it becomes big later.
Yeah. The editing
and
we're
supposed
strange.
To believe it's a zoom in on its face.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, so it's a silkworm and it shoots a bunch of red strings out of its mouth.
But then
and
it switches...
wraps the rangers in a cocoon.
Well, no, it wraps the rangers in silly string. Then it cuts back to another shot of Scorpina holding her hand out and very clearly shooting the same silly string at them. And that's when they become wrapped in the cocoon.
And by cocoon, you mean,
Well, it's a red like, okay?
No, but when they cut inside of it, it's so cool, cause they cut inside of it to show the mm-hmm. the rangers stuck in there. But have you guys ever seen, like, those tunnels for, like, cats or
yes.
dogs?
I know exactly what
that's
you're talking
literally
about. Yes.
What this
yeah.
is.
Like, wireframe with paper around it. And also, like, when you see yeah. from the outside, the cocoon is vertical. And from the inside, like, the cylinder is horizontal. It's like, the illusion is, like,
yeah,
completely botched.
Well, they had to make this new footage of the inside with the American actors because I guess they just didn't have footage of the either didn't have footage of the Sentai characters in the cocoon or I don't know maybe the Sentai characters in the cocoon were unmorphed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm guessing it was probably like a dying child in there. That seems to be the Sentai.
Yeah,
it's fucking real. Yeah.
Also, I'd like to point out the title of this episode is "A Star Is Born," and the monster is not a starfish or a star or anything like that.
No. One of the two monsters actually has a completely different theme that they could have built an entire episode around.
Yeah. So,
yeah, and it's still not.
Oh,
a star
we'll get
or
to that guy. So, we will.
I
get
will
to
say
that,
that the monster is almost never the name of the episode. Unless they can't think of one.
Yeah,
like,
well, I mean,
two episodes ago, we had an episode called The Rock Star, because that was the name of the monster, and they just
Wheel of Misfortune, the Spitflower, Itsy Bitsy Spider, The Trouble with Shell Shock, Dark Warrior.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, it's really, I Guy.
I Guy.
Okay, fair enough. That was a good one.
Yeah, it's usually the name of the monster.
Fine, fuck off. All right, listen. Their communicators don't work because I guess magic?
It's a magic cocoon.
Yeah.
It's clearly made of some sort of magnetic, like, metal. And
they're
so
in
the
Faraday
cage,
is what
exactly.
you're trying to say.
Yeah, okay.
You know what? I am honestly surprised with this show's, like, with everything that's happened in the show so far. I'm surprised they don't start to say, like, oh no, the Rangers are trapped in the silk dimension or something.
Yeah, yeah. You know, if this episode, if this show existed now, then Billy would totally use those, like, really late. Like, it says acting as a Faraday cage because you could Wikipedia
yep.
that in a second.
Yep.
But they couldn't at this time, so they just don't bother.
Yep.
So they roll this.
Oh, go ahead.
One fun thing bit there is that you see Jason, like, kick the cocoon from the inside, and you see it, like, shake, and, like, you clearly see the opening of it that's in front of the camera, like, shake past the frame of
yeah.
the camera and back on
yeah.
top of it.
Yeah. So at that point, we cut up to the moon, and Goldar's like...
Well, before that happens,
okay.
before that happens, the putties
oh, wait,
roll
never
the cocoon thing into the
no,
sea.
No. They cut up to the moon first because, and then Goldar says, throw them off the cliff into the ocean. And then the
okay.
putties lift it up and hook it into the goddamn ocean, which...
Good plan, yeah, Goldar.
At which, yeah, that is a good plan, except for it's thwarted by the fact that it floats, which seems bad for your murder cocoon to float.
Well, I mean, they'll float out to the middle of the ocean, and then they'll starve to death.
I guess so, but...
Well, I think the idea, and this almost happens, is they start to run out of air.
Right, which is hilarious because it would take
don't
you...
Don't they go to space in those suits at some point?
It would take you a pretty long time, and also, yeah, they go to space, and they're fine. So, anyway, well, I don't know, whatever. You can breathe on the moon, apparently, so...
Yep.
Science and Power Rangers is out the fucking
sure.
window anyway.
But we briefly cut to the command center, and Alpha's just like, oh, fuck! How are they going to get out of this?
It.
And
yeah.
Then, well, Zordon's just like, they are going to be brave and clever and escape.
Oh, God.
And boy, are they going to be brave and clever and escape, let me tell you.
So we cut
then
back
Zordon
down.
Reluctantly says that they have to try and contact Tommy.
Yeah. Yes.
Because Zordon hates that guy.
No, we got to Tommy, who is not wearing his communicator.
No, of course not. It's in his fucking bag.
Yep.
No. He is, however, wearing almost exactly my Halloween costume from this past Halloween, which makes me really happy.
This is like the Tommy clothes. It's black pants and a green.
It's down to the necklace. I had to go to Hot Topic to find.
How was Hot Topic? I haven't been in Hot Topic since I was 16.
It was pretty much like it was when you were 16.
Do they still sell those pants that have like bondage straps on them and stuff? Like the
Yeah, probably.
Okay, good. I'm glad because
how much time did you spend in Hot Topic?
I really liked this goth girl when I was in high school. So there's absolutely pictures. There is a picture of me out there somewhere with a pair of mentioned pants and spray hair dye, blue hair dye with spiked hair somewhere. It exists.
See, because when I was in high school, the only reason I ever went to a Hot Topic was they were basically, at the time, they were the only place to get t-shirts.
Yeah, they also sold video game and cartoon t-shirts. They still do.
But now you can get that stuff basically.
I have a Sonic shirt from there still somewhere. So.
Nice. But anyway, back to the show. I love the contrivance, like, the instant this lady calls Tommy into the room to go do his audition. It pans back to the bag, and then we get the beep, beep, beep.
They
beep.
Missed it. Just barely.
And also, like, as Tommy walks to the audition, he just barely avoids being punched by an extra who's practicing karate right there, just out of frame. It's just...
Can we talk about what happens when they ask what martial arts has taught you and what Tommy says? Because it's hilarious.
Yeah.
Which is that he says... Oh, it's given me a lot of self-confidence. Which I was like,
that's the one time he is confident is when he's punching things.
I guess that's true, but boy, imagine Tommy before he learned karate. Like, God, poor guy.
Well, I mean, it's weird because like in this show, and I guess this was the impression that we had of him as kids, like the writers think Tommy is this badass.
Yes,
he's the rebel. Yeah. Like, he's still... And eventually they will play into that more, I assume. But, like, for all of our joking, like, we're only half joking, folks, when we talk about asocial Tommy, when we talk about nervous
Tommy. I'm not joking. I was when I started, but no. Yeah.
It's a serious business. Like, it's like we're one step from, like, having to stage an intervention on Tommy.
Yeah, but that's hilarious. That said, yeah, you're right. When he's fighting... He does, that kind of goes away. He's a lot more confident when he's fighting. So that's...
Wait, so Tommy Oliver is basically Jammer Lammy?
Yeah, pretty much. Or...
So all he has to do is, like, just always convince himself that he's in a karate match at all times.
If he just visualizes be confident. All of his classmates as putties.
Well, this is
no,
like...
No, that didn't work on the Island of Illusion.
This is like how we talked about how Jason has to visualize all his problems as being able to punch them, or he can't deal with them. Cause it's basically the same thing. So, Tommy...
Man, now I want to see, Tommy Oliver fight Chop Chop Master Onion real bad.
So Tommy...
This is kick, kick, kick!
Kick, punch, it's all in the mind, and the morph...
Except he fails the level because the only move he knows
is kick.
Hold on,
kick, punch, it's all in the grid? Does that work? Can we...
Stop mentioning the grid, Luke's not here. Okay. You're gonna summon him, like one more time, and he's just gonna...
Wait,
in.
So Luke is Beetlejuice, basically?
Yeah.
Okay, I see.
Nice, another Beetlejuice mention.
Yeah, so,
wait, so how do we summon Matt?
You talk about how good Hearthstone is.
I think he's a reverse Mr. Mixaplick, and you have to say
God
his name backwards.
God fucking damn it.
Yes, put it on the card.
If you're playing the bingo at home.
During the t-shirt discussion, we brought up Sonic, so we got the trifecta.
How did we start? I'm gonna have to go back and figure out how that started. But anyway.
It has to be the one with Rumpelstiltskin, right?
Yeah, you're right.
That's the same thing.
Yeah, I think that's where it started. Anyway, so he does his karate, and...
Could Superman spin straw into gold?
Probably. Well, actually, Superman canonically, when pre-crisis, had super weaving. It was one of his powers.
Oh yeah,
so,
no, Silver Age Superman could do super everything.
Yeah, so probably.
Yeah. Yeah. Like he had super ventriloquism, not as a one shot power. That was something he did a lot. Yeah.
So okay, Tommy does his karate. It is Tommy, learn a new move. Please, are you a Pokemon? Can you only know four moves at once?
Well, he does something cool. He jumps onto the judge's table and then flips off of it.
Yeah, that's cool. Then he does six roundhouse kicks in a row. Or, I'm sorry, that's not a roundhouse kick. Six spinning jump kicks in a row.
Yep.
High jump kick.
Yes, sure. And the lady's like, well, shit. Okay, got it. You got the part.
So, like, when Bulk walked out, they said to him, I think we have our man, but that was before Tommy had his audition, so, like, if it was the other way around, you might think that she was talking about Tommy, but was she really intending on hiring Bulk until Tommy walked in there?
Yes, she was.
I think she was, and we'll see why at the end, yeah.
But, like, thing is, she says, Tommy, we'd like to talk to you. So they actually take the time to, like, I guess negotiate pay for appearing in the commercial and a contract and stuff. They don't do any of this
Bulk
stuff for Bulk, apparently.
Out. I bet he didn't even sign anything. They just stole his likeness. So, Tommy's not answering. You must keep trying, Alpha 5, blah, blah, blah. They cut to the cocoon.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that line, you must keep trying, Alpha 5, was compiled from previous Zordon clips because the cutting of it is really weird.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Zordon sounds off in this episode.
Well, so again, I found out, like, that just happens sometimes. I found something out, which is that I thought that the original, and I don't have the name in front of me, I thought the original guy who did Zordon
David Fielding
left. Apparently he died. Like,
oh no.
Like, and that's why they switched to a different guy in the second season.
Everyone died on this
show. It's pretty rough. So they may literally not have had access to him to get new lines. So maybe that's why sometimes...
So they kept just recycling the footage of his face on through the show?
The footage of Zordon's face is 6 seconds.
Yeah.
And that's it. And it's this. It's, they use his face for the whole show. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's weird. Like, you would think if the guy passed away, you just get a new guy.
Yeah.
Like, you don't even need to find something weird because you have all these, like, filter effects. Just get another bald dude. Yeah.
I don't know why they didn't. But they just probably just felt like they didn't have to because they blurred his mouth so they don't have to match up the,
the
lip sync.
And there's really only so much animation you can do with a guy whose, like, face is stuck in a tube.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe they thought it was, like, a weird tribute thing. I don't know. But in any case, so,
I mean, it's basically what the coffins are in Star Trek.
Yeah, that's true. So that's why you'll have this weird, like, cobbled together sentence. Or a couple episodes ago, we had what was clearly not Zordon's voice. So that stuff happens. But,
anyway, so speaking of, weird coffins.
Yeah, yeah.
We cut back to the cocoon floating in the water.
So they're gonna shoot their guns at the cocoon.
Before that, they complain that it's getting hard to breathe, and we cut up to a reaction shot of Goldar just saying yes and laughing.
Yeah, yeah, it was which I really like.
And then for no reason, they start spinning the camera, and the Rangers go, whoa,
it's because they have to cut to commercial, and it has to be dramatic.
And then when they cut
somehow
back from commercial, it's like they're just standing upright and nothing's moving.
They've all got their blade blasters out, and only at this point do they think, because they're brave and clever, of course.
Maybe we should shoot them with their
fucking
guns.
Why don't we fight our way out?
Why don't we shoot them with our guns that we never use? So they do that. They blast through the thing. And then, actually, let's take a quick break because some shit happens. So let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Yeah.
Again, two episodes. At this point, Zordon tells Alpha to warn the Rangers. This is the second they come out of this cocoon. They summon their Zords because...
Well, no, they don't summon their Zords. Zordon has Alpha teleport them to their Zords.
Right,
they don't even have a say in this.
Right, because what has happened is that Goldar has sent down...
Say it.
I can't find the name now.
Babe Ruthless, the baseball monster.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, okay, so I have a couple questions. First of all, what? We already had a monster set up. Okay.
That was Goldar's plan. Have just two monsters at once. Or yeah. not even at once.
Well, yeah, Goldar did say he was going to send down a team of monsters. True. Or something to that effect.
It's a good plan, actually.
He's paid attention to what's worked in the past, which has been bombard the Rangers with too many monsters.
That's true.
And
So good on you, Goldar.
And speaking of which, another thing he's carrying over from that plan is 3-on-1, because not only do we get Babe Ruthless, we get Scorpina and Goldar. Here's what I want to know. If Rita's sitting this one out, how did he grow everybody?
Did he just grab Rita's scepter?
Maybe he just stole the wand. Yeah, I don't know.
Just dove down to Earth with, carrying it, and just jam it into the ground to grow himself at the same time.
You've just described the coolest shit I've ever imagined.
That would have been the greatest scene ever, so obviously it's not in there.
He throws himself to Earth like Thor throwing Mjolnir to fly.
Yeah.
Now it's time to make me grow!
I want to see Goldar, surrounded by a fireball on re-entry in Earth's atmosphere, riding this, magic staff like it's a surfboard. Like he's fucking Norrenrad, the Silver Surfer, just going straight to Earth.
Or with a cowboy hat, just yelling, yeehaw.
Yes! That's even better.
It's however,
black and white for no real reason except for the reference.
So however it happens, there's three big ones. But anyway, to go back to this monster, correct me if I'm wrong, but Rita's monsters are all based on previous, well, not all, but 99%, based on previous designs that she used in intergalactic wars, right?
Yep.
Why does they have a baseball monster?
Okay. Remember the iGuy episode? There was footage of this Japanese girl.
Oh my god, that
planet.
Little girl had a baseball bat, didn't she?
Baseball is the universal sport.
Holy shit. Holy shit.
Also, to be fair, this is clearly more of a baseball oni than anything.
Yeah. Oh my god, Simon, the fact that that is not a continuity hole is so fucking great.
I just pulled that out of my ass. I'm just glad it works.
Oh my god.
So I love this because he has a catching glove on both of his hands instead of just one of them.
I think that's cheating.
Yeah. But also, on the sides of his baseball cap are two little bat wings.
Yes, yeah.
So he can be the baseball bat.
Oh my god.
I totally
Babe
didn't
Ruthless
pick up
the
on
baseball
that.
Bat.
Oh, and he's a bat. His face is, he's a bat.
God,
head.
You're right.
Yeah.
This is all
the baseball bat.
This monster's a pun, and they totally missed that pun in the Power Rangers.
Yeah. That is the thing. They came up with Babe Ruthless. Why couldn't they just call him the baseball bat?
And the first thing he says is batter up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, god.
God damn it. Now I'm, even more disappointed in the Power Rangers.
Of course, he also has a horn, which is not really a bat thing, typically. But, whatever.
Well, it's not even really a horn. It's more like a spout, and it's going to shoot stuff later.
Yeah. So,
there's too much shooting of stuff in this
episode. That is factual. So they...
Speaking of which, first, attack of the fight is Trini with the Sabertooth Tiger shooting stuff out of the tail.
We get a little bit of this, the individual Zord stuff, not too much.
We actually get kind of a lot of it relative to how quick this fight is, really.
Yeah. And
The
T-Rex is fighting Goldar and Scorpina, and then you got the Triceratops and Sabertooth Tiger fighting the Babe Ruthless, the baseball monster, who is a bat.
Yeah, so he says, when Babe Ruthless pitches his lightning, all in its path shall be punished. And he shoots lightning. So, I guess Claw attacks first.
Yeah, and then Billy comes up with the brilliant plan for him and Zack to attack the monster from both sides. Zack says that's a good idea. They don't do it.
No. High level tactics.
Yeah.
Then they cut to...
There's a shot of all three of them. So, from that episode, they really did all fight all three of them at once.
Yeah, totally. They're in there. So they cut back down to the school. Tommy finally hears his fucking communicator, and he
in the deserted hallway for some reason.
Yeah, morphs and teleports to the fight, and summons the Dragon Zord, and then they immediately do Dragon Zord battle mode.
I mean, at this point in the series, they use Tommy for is just the Dragon Zord. They don't really need him.
We talked about it last time. He barely fights as a ranger. Yeah, he almost always just shows up and summons his Zord.
I need to talk about what happens here. So they form battle, the Dragonzord battle mode, and then Jason says
he's switched,
joining them or something.
He says he's switching the Tyrannosaurus
to remote.
Yeah, he switches the Tyrannosaurus to remote so that
then
he can
jumps.
Yeah, he jumps.
He jumps out of the Tyrannosaurus, like he's on top of him, and jumps off, and then lands in the Megazord cockpit.
Yeah.
This is how they explain that there's a shot of him in the cockpit, even though he's not in the Dragonzord battle.
They're clearly in specifically the Megazord cockpit.
Yeah, because they don't have a Dragonzord cockpit to show.
Right, which, if I'm remembering correctly, which I am, is in the, like...
It's in the head of the
Tyrannosaurus Zord's portion of the Megazord.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
they
also...
just want to somehow show that five Rangers... not Tommy, for some reason, are inside the Dragonzord battle mode.
Well, yeah, because Tommy's outside playing his flute.
I guess to explain what the hell Kimberly's doing? Because, like, if they
well,
didn't
I mean,
do this...
it's a good question of where they are during the Dragonzord
stuff. Yeah, because typically, we've mentioned it before, it's like, wait, where is Kimberly during this entire thing?
Yeah.
Well, hopefully the comic will explain that.
So yeah, at this point, actually, in the I meant to mention this in the prequel, in the number zero, there's a part where they're fighting near a bridge, and a bunch of cars go off the bridge, and the Pterodactylzord detaches from the Megazord and goes and saves the cars while the Megazord continues to fight, which is pretty cool. I thought that was really neat, and also it gave her something to fucking do. So,
God, I wonder if she was like, oh, thank God, civilians in danger. I'm so bored.
So anyway, at this point, they fight for a while with the Tyrannosaurus Zord and the Dragonzord battle mode against the three monsters.
I have a question.
Okay.
If the Zords have remote settings,
uh-huh.
And we already know the Dragonzord essentially has free will as it is,
uh-huh.
What do they need the Ranger? Why put the Rangers inside the robots?
Because he hates wouldn't it be robots.
Wouldn't it be safer to do it like the way Tommy does it and have them just sort of command the robots from a safe distance?
Yeah, but
Zordon also has no respect for the safety.
Yeah, but Zordon doesn't give a shit. He can just get more Power Rangers if they die.
Yeah.
I mean, he literally grabbed them completely at random, so...
The technology to auto-drive the Megazord is not quite there yet. Like, they still need to figure out some, like, ethical problems.
It's fight assist. It's not automatic
exactly.
Fighting.
Well, see, it's fight... It's auto-fight is good, but its pathfinding is really bad, so...
Let's say you're inside an autopilot Megazord, and it's screaming towards either a wall or like 20 school children. What does the AI decide to do? That's a problem we haven't solved yet. That's why we can't have them on the road yet.
Okay, so...
Although, incidentally, all like accidents with the Megazord haven't been the fault of the Megazord itself.
Fact.
It's always been other Zords in the area.
Yeah, yeah. All human-controlled Zords caused the accident. That's true.
Yes, exactly.
So... at this point, they...
Megazords don't kill people. People in Megazords kill people.
Oh, God. Are we going to get into, like, a fucking, I don't know, 307th
Amendment
right debate?
To robots.
Remember, yeah. don't drink in Dragonzord. Is that what we said before?
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. Every American is imbued with the fundamental right to bear giant
to
robotic
mostly
arms.
Mostly mammoth arms, actually.
It's all I'm saying is just do a background check before making someone a Power Ranger. I don't see why this is controversial.
Just minimum background checks and a 3-day waiting period for your power coins. That's all we want.
Yep.
All right. So anyway, they fucking drill the baseball monster to death. I think it was on screen for a good 30 seconds. Like,
which
probably in total 30 seconds.
Of all monster designs to build an episode around, how is baseball not one?
Yeah,
of them?
That would have been great.
Yeah,
but and plus, you missed, like one really great thing that they do with that monster is that like Babe Ruthless spawns a big red ball and tosses it at them, and the T-Rex just swings its tail and bats it back at him.
Yeah, that's pretty great. I forgot.
We also missed the horn spout thing shoots like a pink cloud.
Oh yeah,
and like. The Dragonzord just kind of deflects it with the spear, kind of.
Yeah, for some reason,
in a shot that only works like on a, it's a shot that only works on a 2D plane, basically.
Yes,
but like,
yeah, it's like the cloud sort of like converges into a like like a really narrow, thin plane.
It's like he's, it's like block, it's like how if you think about it too hard, blocking like a super Hadouken in Street Fighter makes no fucking sense, but they just did it anyway because they shoot it from the side. So it's like, yeah, it just blocks that big
cloud. Let me check the chart. Yeah, Dragon type is immune to Baseball type, so it's fine. Okay. Yeah.
Speaking of which, I am
weirdly,
so pissed.
They didn't make any.
I am so pissed about how little this monster gets used.
Yep.
Because like we know the show loves puns. I love puns. You love puns. Mm-hmm. Everyone on Earth
Joel,
that isn't Zach
Joel
loves puns.
Joel definitely loves puns.
like there are so many baseball puns you could have made if there was an episode about this guy.
Babe Ruthless, the show didn't do you right, man.
Yeah.
Do you right? It wasn't right.
He got cheated. Yep. Anyway, Joel, what were you about to say?
The moment's over. Let's move on.
Okay. So, it was going to be a Pokemon typing joke, wasn't it?
It was.
I did it first.
It was more inside than that. Okay. But
all right, so,
was it inside baseball?
Oh, God damn it.
So, you guys are all right.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate that.
I love you, man.
So they kill the monster, and then Zordon
drill
tells
a hole in his fucking
chest. And then we cut up to Goldar on the moon, even though Goldar was just down there fighting them, telling them that the worst is yet to come.
So And then Zordon tells them that Scorpina is, quote, back in Angel Grove?
Which, they're in a city, where are they right now?
Well, I think he means, like,
Billy
shrunk and went back into the city, but...
Yeah. Billy says that she's in human form again.
Yeah.
Which means small.
Okay, hold on. So Zordon's rule is that you can't escalate until the enemy does. I don't know if he said anything about having to de-escalate... when the enemy de-escalates.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Because, like, she shrinks down, and they get out of the robot.
Yep.
Yeah. They've definitely done this before. This is the third or fourth
time. Well, I mean, if they... Like, I think that rule is implied, because you could just stay in the Megazord indefinitely and wait for the next monster and stomp on it, right?
Yeah, just sleep in there. It's probably got, like, bunks
in the back. You never de-escalated. And I'm sure there's, like, plenty of accommodations inside the Megazord. It looks big enough for, like, cool bedrooms and probably a rec room in there, and that's cool. Yeah.
So,
the thing is, there's no point to them getting out of the robot.
No, absolutely
because
not.
They immediately re-escalate because they grow the silkworm or whatever
it is. Well, they didn't know they were going to do that.
So she grows the silkworm, and then they go.
By the way,
we're
calling it the silkworm, but we never actually get a name for this thing.
No.
Scorpina just calls it my pet over and over again.
They call for Dragonzord power, except really what happens is the Dragonzord battle mode was already chilling. It was just like, hey, hanging out still. I'm still here. So then it turns into the regular Megazord and the Dragonzord, which I'm not
sure.
They
play the Dragonzord animation backwards to show it demorphing. It's pretty cool.
And they get back in the cockpits and make their, like, cockpit
roll
call.
Well, I love
again.
That they do their one-liners referencing the fact that this is the second time they're getting into the robots.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, Zach just says, I'm in the groove again! And Billy's like, ready to rock a second time, let's go! And it's
They fight the...
Again, it comes back to them actually explaining something, making it worse.
Yeah.
I wonder if they have, like, these intricate rules of engagement that say, against this monster, Dragonzord battle mode, no good, go back to regular Megazord.
Yeah.
Why? Okay, fine.
They have to respec based on the boss fight.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So,
let me switch to my sword spec for a quick second.
Bugs aren't really weak to dragon type.
Yeah,
they are
go.
Weak to Megazord.
There
type,
you go.
So.
There you
so,
go. You pulled it out. See.
So the silkworm traps them in the cocoon again. The Dragonzord drills them out with its tail, which looks hilarious. There's also a shot of the cocoon falling away from the Megazord.
So I want to point out that even though the Dragonzord was there chilling, Tommy still has to resummon it from the ocean.
Yes, yeah, it comes back out of the ocean even though it hadn't left. I guess it was just like, okay, bye.
Also, I love
it's like Tommy himself. As soon as he's not needed, he just pieces out.
I love.
Oh man, do you think the Dragon Zord also has social anxiety?
Social anxiety for robots.
Oh man, yeah. What if the personality of the Dragon Zord is just reflects whoever's in charge of it at the time?
Well, we mentioned before that there's that shot like 5 or 6 episodes ago where the Dragon Zord like goes to make a move on the Megazord to like hold its hand and then chickens out.
It's just this awkward handshake.
So yeah, totally.
Just imagine absolutely. Them going, "Hey, so hi, no, oh yeah, yeah, handshake, yeah, buddy, hi. Yeah."
Okay, yeah. Also, I love the actual shot of the Megazord coming out of the cocoon.
Yes, I was gonna say because it's like pulled out and it's an angle we don't usually get of the fake city set. And it makes it look so much worse than it normally does.
Also, they've got the Megazord, like, standing on top of a pink pedestal as the two halves, like, fall off around it.
It is a great shot. It's really funny. So then they make Mega Dragonzord mode? Yeah, Mega Dragonzord mode. And at this point, my girlfriend who was watching with me, who normally doesn't, was like, how many fucking modes are there? Because they use.
Did you tell her that there were modes that she didn't even see in this episode?
Yeah, there's. They use everything but one. They don't use the Ultra Zord in this episode, but
or the tank mode really. But
yeah, that's true. But they do use almost.
When was the last time we saw the tank mode? Because it seems like they just go straight to Megazord these days.
Yeah, it's been a while.
I miss the tank mode.
I
feel like they actually laid down in a quick assault with it in an episode recently, but like it was just one scene and then they transformed.
I think you're right. I think I remember seeing it and then they very quickly. Went into the normal mode. So,
which, quite frankly, is a good way to do it. Lay down a bit of suppressing fire before transforming.
Also, that thing has like 15 cannons on it. So, sure.
Why not? Anyway, so the Mega Dragon Zord does its, you know, the big Dragon Ball Z move.
Yeah.
And then, so when the Silkworm dies, we don't get like the quick shot of the guy in the suit falling over with the special effects
terrifying.
Over it.
It's like
they go like full animation of like
it looks
this
like
white
a Dragon Ball Z move actually.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. It's like a white sky and you see this thing like ripping to shreds.
Yeah, and these
it looks like a shot
like
from Akira,
from
man.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that it's kind of creepy to see. It's literally like ripped apart. Yeah, like And also I like
it's way more graphic than the show.
And also
usually
I
gets.
Like that you said it's like a Dragon Ball Z attack when but anyway.
Yeah, well because they literally attack with a Dragon Ball with a Z on it, yeah.
Yes. So at this point we cut up to the moon and Frieda's like, I take one day off and see what happens. The same thing that happens every day? Like
unless she gets to blame other people.
Yeah.
The same people she usually blames. Right. Including Squat and Babu and Finster, who weren't even in this episode.
Yeah, because it's the same exact shot.
First time we see any of the three of them. Yeah. Finster doesn't even talk in this episode.
I love that Squat actually says, I didn't have anything to do with it.
Yes. I'm pretty sure that this specific shot of her yelling at her crew, I could, like, recreate in my mind at this point. Because we see it every single episode.
There's so much to love about this, though. First, she yells at them, like, says, never go after the Power Rangers without me again, even though it was under her orders that they did it in the first place.
Yeah, and in fact, Goldar didn't want to, and she made him, so.
Yep. And then Goldar says, it was Finster's monsters that failed anyway, just completely throwing Finster under the bus immediately.
Yeah, and Finster doesn't even get to say anything, again, like you said. Ugh. So, they cut down to the juice bar. And we've got our sportscaster, newscaster again, same guy. And then, who asks about the commercial? Is it Kimberly? It looks like, it doesn't matter. Oh, Ernie quickly says, I gotta tell you, I love the Power Rangers, cause he's responding to the news footage.
Well, the news anchor makes a point, and he does the Dragon Ball Z, look, they're getting out of the helicopters thing, where he says, like, while there was some property damage, no one was hurt, thanks to the Power Rangers.
Oh, yeah, he does, yeah.
I'm telling you guys, this is exactly the same dialogue that we've seen in, like, at least two other episodes in the past.
The dialogue is changing. They just have this guy...
Man, I'm going to do
some research. They're rewording it like he's saying the same stuff.
Someone look it
up.
But
the words are different.
Yeah, someone look it up.
I'm almost certain it's exactly the same footage.
All right, so
I choose. Okay, let's bridge this gap. Let's say that he recorded the lines again, but they're the identical.
No half measures, Joel. You're either with me or you're against me.
Pick a side. It's a war.
Yeah.
So at this point,
Teenagers with Attitude, Civil War.
Oh, God. So Kimberly asks, when are we going to get to see your commercial? And then it comes on the TV, and Bulk and Skull are there also.
And it's, Bulk says he got the part.
Yeah, and it starts with, which, like, how does he not know what's about to happen? How is that possible? Anyway.
Because he walked out before they got him to sign anything.
Yeah, because anyway, they actually filmed him during his audition and used that footage.
Well, we knew that because they called it a camera test. Yes.
Right, yeah. So that's what happens, is that they say that...
It's like, do you want to learn karate? If you try to learn on your own, you might look like this. And they show Bulk looking stupid and... Like, for some reason, this line isn't in the subtitles, so I wrote it down. He says, just a bundle of blobbering blubber.
Oh, Jesus, it's awful.
Yeah, it's
look
really
at this
bad.
Asshole. He sucks so
what
bad.
What kills me about the conceit of this commercial is, since it was shot in the audition and the camera was behind the judges
you
are
can
in,
literally
like,
see them.
Half of the
yeah,
shot.
Yeah. And then,
I'm really disappointed, like, the footage doesn't go gray with a red X on it while Bulk is doing it.
Yeah. Well, then they would have had to edit the footage in some way, but they didn't, because it's literally what we saw earlier.
Yep.
And then
this ever happened to you? Like, Bulk and Skull being the, like, before footage of every infomercial ever is something I never knew I wanted, but
the
I wanted
thing
so
with
badly now.
Totally works with that, too.
So they say, come into the Angel Grove Karate Center, and you could look like this, and they show Tommy. And again, it's just the footage from the fucking audition, which is crazy.
Yeah, well, that wasn't an audition at that point. They were like obtaining film for this commercial without the people they were filming knowing that's what they were doing.
Were they also, filming everyone? Like,
I guess, yeah. Well, yeah, they were filming. It was a screen test, theoretically. Ugh. But like, what I love is that the name of this place that the commercial's for is just the Angel Grove Karate Center. I mean, they managed to come up with an actual, like, brand name for the mayonnaise, but they couldn't come up with
a jingle.
And a jingle. They couldn't come up with anything for the karate center.
Wrote a jingle for the mayonnaise.
It's the federal karate center of Angel Grove. It's just a public service that they have to
Yeah.
Do you guys think Ron Wasserman wrote that jingle?
I hope so. Deep in my heart, I hope that that's a Ron Wasserman original mayonnaise jingle. And he has to put it on his resume for a while, but then was like, maybe I'll take that off. Maybe people don't need to know that one. Ugh, God. And that's pretty much the episode.
Wait,
well, there's one more thing.
Bulk and Skull are walking out. Look at Trini and Zach. What's going on there?
Oh, man. Yeah, you're right.
They're snuggling.
Yeah.
They're all like almost kissing. What's going on?
And
what
Billy,
is that?
Billy's over in the corner with his drink to his mouth, just going like,
There's a new wrinkle in that
relationship.
What I was
going to say is, as Bulk and Skull are running out while the Rangers left, Bulk yells, "You call yourself a manager, Skull? This is your fault!"
Yeah.
Which, honestly, like, if Skull was actually his manager, he'd have a legitimate complaint, because no manager should have put up with what happened
there. So, anyway. Yeah.
Actually, like, I feel like, especially since he didn't sign anything, like, Bulk's got a lawsuit against these people, right?
Oh, for sure.
Like, 100%. Like, for
Tommy, Tommy probably signed some stuff, but even Tommy, like, if he had an actual agent, that agent would be,
I bet Tommy didn't
questioning the legality of this whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But also, just, like, for making him look bad and humiliating him, like, he's got a, what would you call it? I guess a mental anguish or whatever it is. Suitcase.
Well, and just harm to his image, which as an aspiring actor is the only thing that's important.
Yeah. Like, I don't know how far it would get. Like, it would probably just, I guess, settle out of court for a fairly small amount. But yeah, like, Bulk's got a case.
Which is more than Bulk's currently getting for this role.
Yeah.
So, that's the episode. I love the idea of the fucking baseball monster, but he's so underused. They cobble together two fucking episodes, basically. I don't know.
Everything after the mayonnaise scene just feels... It feels like Power Rangers Abridged.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. I still had more fun with this than the Island of Illusion episodes.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is bad, but in the good sort of bad way.
Yeah.
To steal from the Flophouse, it's a good bad.
I have to admit, once I realized that the monster is a Batman, I started appreciating this episode way more.
Well, you realize the reason they can't actually call him that is because Batman actually exists.
Yeah, and he'll sue.
They could have just called him the baseball bat, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Why did they not just call him the bat? I guarantee baseball bat was his name in the Sentai, yeah. probably. Like, yeah.
Well, given how much Japan loves baseball, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
This is a fun episode, but it's real half-assed in a way that they've kind of been getting away from more. As they've gotten further into the series. So I'm excited because we're only about 8 episodes away from getting, like the ZU2 footage, the new stuff that they had to shoot. So I'm curious to
see. We're also coming up on, and like, I have no idea how well they hold up, but we're coming up on the Green Candle. Yep. And then shortly after that, what was originally going to be the season's finale, Doomsday.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Shit's about to get real pretty quickly here, so we'll see.
We've got the yolks on you first, though.
Oh God!
Blah, blah, blah. It's actually really good. I have fond memories of the yolks on you.
Okay, good. So that's the episode. We'll do a couple quick listener questions, and then we'll call it. So if you have questions, send them in to us at teenswithtude on Twitter, teenswithtude@gmail.com, or you can join the Facebook group, Teenagers with Attitude. So first we have just a quick one we can get out of the way here. Abe Williams wrote in and he wanted to know, where the music that I was using in the podcast came from. So this is a good, point to point out that our theme song, again, was written by our buddy Mitch. So thanks again for that. The earlier episodes, everything I used was, Ron Wasserman's Power Rangers music. So if you heard it in the interstitial, like in between, segments, which is what interstitial means. Thank you. I will define things for you.
Makes sense.
So that was all from the various Power Rangers soundtracks, and has all been used at some point in the show. So if you're trying to find it, I would probably search Ron Wasserman or Power Rangers and then the chorus theme or whatever, like they yell in the chorus over and over. Cause that's probably the name of the episode or of the track.
I will say.
Well, there's also that Ron Wasserman, album where he remastered everything,
Ron
right?
Ron Wasserman, Power Rangers Redux. Yeah. You can find that, if you want to help him out and also listen to him having kind of redone the instrumentation and stuff and made it sound a little better. So
now I will say, if you haven't watched ahead in the show, we're getting pretty close. I think it's after Doomsday, the point where they start using songs with lyrics during the show.
Yeah.
And that point is amazing for many reasons. One of which is the Netflix subtitles, which never get it right and get it wrong in always different ways.
I saw that really bad, like, the Rita song, Rita, that's coming up pretty soon. Yep. So I'm excited about that. Yeah. Yeah. So that's where the music comes from.
Yeah. I think we did get lyrics in the song once before this. I think it was the end of the Green Ranger saga, didn't it?
I think
we got a song with the lyrics in it,
but almost always they cut them out before.
I mean, we got this.
I thought they used a version of Go Green Ranger Go.
Oh, that song doesn't even appear until Tommy leaves the show.
Yeah,
and
Go Green Ranger
back.
Is not on the show.
Really?
It's when Tommy comes back after all this.
Yeah. Huh.
Well, I mean, we got the mayonnaise jingle in this one, so there you go.
Yeah, that's I'm gonna put that's gonna replace mayonnaise. All the music in between segments. So that's that.
Teenagers with Attitude sells out.
Yes.
Timmy P's brand mayonnaise, like, reach out to us. We want to advertise for you.
If only you existed.
Yeah, we'd love to be sponsored by this fictitious mayonnaise.
It says right on the label, it's a real brand. What more do you want?
Fictitious mayonnaise is a really good brand name.
Or man, Xbox Live account.
Fictitious mayonnaise sounds like a good name for a Weezer album.
Yeah. So, okay, previous guest Michael Fingers wrote in months ago and I totally missed it, so I'm sorry about that, but this is a good one. How fast would Rita fail if she was able to actually, or I'm sorry, if Rita was actually able to take over, how fast would her rule fail and who would usurp her?
Lord Zed would usurp
her. I would say about 10 minutes and Goldar.
Yeah, I think we're sticking to like pre Lord Zed for this.
I mean, honestly, like Mr. Kaplan could probably usurp Rita. Like He has a lot of experience dealing with people with about her mental level.
So Michael points out that you would think Goldar, but he's not sure that Goldar would actually want the responsibility and workload of ruling a planet. And I kind of agree. I think Goldar's too lazy for that.
Goldar just wants to serve a competent overlord. That becomes apparent later in the show.
Here's the thing. I think Goldar leads the coup and then hands the crown to Scorpina.
You think he installs Scorpina as ruler and then just follows
and then Scorpina just disappears without explanation at some point in season 2.
Alternatively, if Scorpina's not in play, he hands the crown to Finster. Because fuck it.
Yeah, okay, sure.
Certainly not Squatter Babu.
I was actually going to say, I could see him handing it to Squatter Babu just to see what would happen.
Yeah, that'd be funny.
For shits and giggles.
Just to set them up to fail, to like make himself look better.
Well, who would be funnier for him to give it to, Squatter Babu?
He'd give it to both of them.
Yeah, I can't
without
imagine.
Telling the other one that he gave it to the other one.
Yes. It'll be like on Futurama when they go to the parallel universe and both Zoidbergs are fighting over the box. Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, I can't imagine only one of them having it. They would have to co-rule. It would have to be a co-thing. And then they would fight a lot, and I would like that.
Now I'm imagining a really, really shitty version of Tenacious D's Two Kings.
Yes, Two Kings. Basically.
I poisoned yours as well.
So, if you have any questions, you can send them in. That's going to do it for us today. We didn't have a ton. But come back next week because we have... Oh, man. That episode is... We have an episode about... Yep. A fish man whose eggs get stolen, and if that sounds like it's up your alley...
Expect a lot of looking for those eggs.
Oh, God. So, and then,
This isn't even the first time they've used the plot line of looking for eggs.
No, I think it actually is those eggs.
It is those eggs in the Sentai. Yeah. They're the same fucking eggs.
But...
Like, that's the thing, is, like, the thing we were complaining about at the end of the Chokey Chicken was, like, would they just let the eggs float into the sea? What the fuck?
It's the Chunky Chicken,
sure
not the Chokey Chicken.
I'm pretty sure he was not the Chokey Chicken. I'm almost positive.
I thought I said Chunky.
No, you did not. I'll check the tape.
I definitely heard what you heard,
okay.
Zach.
Okay, well, okay.
But anyway, so, yeah.
So join us for more fetishes next time.
And also, like,
you still don't know what sex is.
Man, are we going to get into that? Because I could tell you about egg stuff if you want.
No. Anyway, so like you said, after that, we have the green candle, so we'll have another kind of event episode, so I'm excited about that.
Looking forward to that, yeah.
And yeah, I guess that's gonna do it for us this week. For Teenagers with Attitude, I've been Zach.
I've been Joel.
I've been Simo.
And I've been Mike.
And may the power protect you always.
Timmy Pete's Real Bread Mayonnaise.